relief factor, pain relief that's natural, pain relief that works, and pain relief that attacks the source of the pain. That's the experience of tens of thousands of Americans who are taking Relief Factor right now. See their incredible video endorsements at ReliefFactor.com and then order your three-week quick starter pack for just $19.95. That's less than a dollar a day. Find out if it can work for you like it works for me by ordering your three-week quick starter pack today. ReliefFactor.com, ReliefFactor.com. Be the next success story.
If you thought 2016 was important, 2020 is going to be the greatest, most significant election of your lifetime. As a result, we've created a unique additional podcast with our regular guest in studio, former special assistant to President Trump, Boris Epstein. It's called The Battle for 1600. Join us today by subscribing to the podcast for free. Just look for my name, Boris Epstein, and The Battle for 1600.
This is America First, and here's your host, Dr. Sebastian Gorka.
If, in fact, it is found that members of Congress were accomplices to this insurrection, if they aided and abetted the crime, there may have to be actions taken beyond the Congress and in terms of prosecution for that.
I guess the left has their conspiracy theorists, too. I'm Sebastian Gorka. This is America First on the Salem Radio Network. With the Speaker of the House falling for the internet conspiracy theory that Republican members of Congress were taking rioters through the halls of Capitol Hill the day before the riot to do reconnaissance. Does she know that members take their guests on tours of the congressional buildings? What if the Democrats took some tours the day before? Are they also to be investigated? Sheer lunacy, but hey, it's Nancy Pelosi, the woman who has, we were talking today to Lee Zeldin, to Doug LaMalfa, and we're going to talk to Lauren Boebert. But the congressmen and women we've had on the show have just confirmed for me in the last couple of days, if you don't wear a mask in Congress, even when you're talking at the podium with people 10, 20, 30 feet away, you will be fined $500 the first time and $1,000 the second. Not only that, paranoid Nancy Marie Antoinette Redux is putting metal detectors outside the chamber, not just at the security entrances to the building, but outside the debating chamber that Congress men and women will be forced to go through. In the past, they didn't have to go through security at the entrances to the building. They walked around the magnetometers because they've got that lovely little congressional badge that shows who they are, that pin on their lapel. But now everyone coming into the chamber will have to go through. And if you refuse, as an elected member of Congress who's just been criminalized, you will be fined $5,000 the first time and five and ten. For the magnetometers, it's $5,000 the first time and $10,000 for the second quote-unquote offense. But that's who she has become. She is acting like not a queen, like an empress. And what is it based on? Well, let's listen to our good friend, a mentor to me, one of the wisest individuals I know, colleague here on Salem. It's Dennis Prager. We've got to get him back on the show, but this is Dennis Prager. I think this was from Fox, video cut 5. Play cut.
I speak to people who escaped from communist countries to come to the country of the Statue of Liberty, and they're depressed. They're almost clinically depressed, seeing America go in the direction of the countries that they fled. This the other thing, or there are many other things, but another thing to note is the left speaks about hate. No one hates like the left hates. They have almost a monopoly on hate. That if an honorable American voted for Donald Trump, or obviously if they worked for it, there's not even a question. But if it becomes known that you voted for Donald Trump, what can happen to you in your school, at your place of work?
It's true. We've said it so many times on this show. Their fuel is hate. And is that what's going on social media? You bet it is. Let's look at the public face of Twitter. And let's look at what just has been revealed by Project Veritas. So 2 days ago, Jack Dorsey wrote a, oh my gosh, what is it? Like a 30-piece thread on Twitter on his platform. And let me just give you a couple of his responses to banning the president. I do not celebrate or feel pride in our having to ban Donald Trump from Twitter or how we got here. After a clear warning we'd take this action, we made a decision with the best information we had based on threats to physical safety, both on and off Twitter. Was this correct? I believe this was the right decision. We faced an extraordinary and untenable circumstance, forcing us to focus on all of our actions on public safety. Right, because that's what social media is there for, public safety. Offline harm as a result of online speech is demonstrably real and what drives our policy and enforcement above all else. That said, having to ban an account, by the way, with 98 million followers, has real and significant ramifications. While there are clear and obvious exceptions, I feel a ban is a failure of ours, ultimately to promote healthy conversation. What? Sorry? Your social media platform. What are you doing trying to shape conversation? Then you're not a social media platform. You're a publisher and should be liable to all that a publisher is liable to. And at a time for us to reflect on our operations and the environment around us. And one more tweet. This moment in time might call for this dynamic, but over the long term, it will be destructive to the noble purpose and ideals of the open internet. Oh, really? So censorship is bad, Jack? A company making a business decision to moderate itself is different from a government removing access, yet can feel much the same. Interesting. So censorship is censorship? So this long screed from the crazy Rasputin of Silicon Valley is again said by the video that James O'Keefe acquired from a Twitter meeting with Jack Dorsey. We have been told that this man is aloof, he doesn't make policy decisions. And this is really for the betterment of the country, and it's not about Donald Trump. Really, Jack Dorsey? Let's see what he says behind closed doors. It's not the best audio, but God bless whoever gave it to James O'Keefe. Video cut 3, play cuts.
You know, we are focused on one account right now, but this is going to be much bigger than just one account. And it's going to go on for much longer than just this day, this week, the next few weeks. It's going to go on beyond the inauguration. We have to expect.
This isn't just about Donald Trump's account. There you have it. It's going to go on much longer. He doesn't seem to have qualms about it on that private internal video, does he? He doesn't say, oh, well, you know, it's tough and we don't like censorship. On the contrary, he's excited about the ever-expanding cancellation that is going to go on for weeks and well beyond the inauguration. Are you listening, conservative, tech-savvy businessmen? Are you listening, conservative funders and investors? They will not stop, which means they will destroy their platform, which means it's time to build a First Amendment one. Let's go to Terry in California with an interesting question. Line two, you got a minute, Terry.
Hi, Sebastian. Good to talk to you. You are the James Bond of talk radio.
Thank you, my friend. Thank you.
But you know, it's such a coincidence. Sean Connery passed away on a Saturday, and somebody else last year passed away on a Saturday, and he played a James Bond character, Robert Conrad.
Oh, my gosh. Wow. Thank you kindly for reminding us. You've got a minute, Terry. What's your question?
Yeah, there's a left-wing radio station out there. Are there anybody on that radio station you wish you could debate what it's called, KPFK?
I'm not familiar. I think left-wing radio is pretty much dead in the water, has been for years. But who would I like to debate on the left? It's an interesting question. We have two suggestions from the team. Mr. G, of course, has come up with some great suggestions. I would love to debate, and all of them at once, because they're such small men. Everybody on the Lincoln Project, that would be so much fun to just destroy them verbally. And then, just to put the Marine Corps back on its feet, I'd love to debate. They could do it together because I'm ready. Is General Kelly, the man who thought he owned the White House, and also lapdog Jim Mattis. Let's start with those. The invitation is out there. The gauntlet has been laid down. Let's see what happens. Great question. Thank you, my friend. This is America First on the Salem Radio Network.
He may have been born in Britain, but now his heart is America's. It's your favorite legal immigrant, President Trump's former strategist, Dr. Sebastian Gorka.
Thank you, thank you. Ray's called in. We're going to go to Ray, but our good friend in Livermore. But first, waiting very patiently in Jacksonville, line five. Tim, thank you for your patience. Welcome to America First.
Thank you, Dr. Gorka.
Hey.
Yesterday you had a law enforcement officer call and talk about part of the reason he was retiring is the environment for law enforcement officers. I just wanted to add to that that I have a son who next month will be on the force here in Jacksonville for 1 year. And when he made that decision, my wife came to me and, you know, in discussion with him and said, should we talk to him about that decision? Should we try to talk him out of it? And my explanation to her was, I'm sorry to get emotional, but it means something to me. We have men and women whose sons and daughters go overseas to protect our rights, to protect all of our rights. And I didn't feel like it was my right to try to talk my son out of being a law enforcement officer here to protect the home front when they are making the sacrifice with their children. And if a parent is in that position, please do not, if your son or daughter feels that calling to do that, please don't talk them out of it, because Dr. Gorka, my son needs someone to watch his back.
Yeah. How old is your son, Tim?
He's 22 years old, Dr. Gorka. He's got his whole life ahead of him, and he chose because his words to me one day were, "Dad, I hate a bully."
That's right.
And he's a smart young man, Dr. Gorka. I'm not bragging on him because he's my son, but people came up to us privately and said, this boy could do anything he wanted to do. Why does he want to be a cop today? And I tell him, I said, he hates a bully. And he wants to protect the others who can't protect themselves.
God bless him. What? Don't give us his last name. What's your son's first name?
Jesse.
All right, listen. Your message. I'm really glad that you've called in, Tim, and shared the story of your son Jesse, 21 years old, could do whatever he wants, and you're not trying to stop him to be a police officer. This is one of the hardest things a parent could do, because it could be a traffic stop, it could be anything, and that young man or that young woman could be in a deadly encounter. But you're right, with good men and women hemorrhaging out of the police force because of the... I mean, come on, they hate the police. They've hated them not just for the last 10 months, they've hated them since the 60s. They've hated them since Sacco and Vanzetti in the 1930s. But your son, Jesse, needs a good man or woman at his back. When he goes to serve that warrant, when he makes that stop on the highway, he needs somebody else to keep him and all of us safe. So, Tim, I can hear the emotion in your voice. I'm going to pray for you and for all the Jessies who are out there making that decision, because we need more. We need thousands and thousands of them. Tim, stay on the line. We're going to send you, we're going to send your son Jesse, just a token of our appreciation. We're going to send you some of my books, but God bless you for that call. That's really why we can't give up. That call is why we don't give up and why we never give up. People are moaning. They're talking about, you know, the fairness doctrine on radio. They're talking about Twitter. That man is going to get qualified, go to the academy, strap on a gun, put on a badge, and go in harm's way every time he gets in the radio car. So let's get serious about our commitment to this nation. If Jesse can make that decision, you can make a difference. Oh, I can't run for public office. I don't have the time. Really? Well, guess what? If he can do that, you can run for office. If he can do that, and you're a programmer, or you've got some money to invest, you can help create a new social media platform that's free, that respects social media. Wow, it may be Friday, but that call... it's one of the most important we've had. Thank you, Tim. Ray, another man who's served this nation honorably. Welcome from Livermore.
Hey, thank you, Dr. G, and thank you, Tim, and thank you, Jesse. I've got friends and family in law enforcement, and they're kind of at the end of their terms, and they're looking for a way out because of this mess, and we do need good men and women to follow them back in. Otherwise, the whole thing falls apart. And I did call about censorship and you know, what's being done to the president. And I fear that will happen to this program. I know you just mentioned the fairness doctrine, but I see them outmaneuvering us in a different way, Dr. G. You talked about a new platform. Platforms are nice, but if this Apple smartphone and the Google smartphone decide not to host your app, you're effectively dead in the water, as we see with Parler. And we've all feared a censorship of free speech. I didn't think it would come through big business, though, or through big tech or this direction, and that big tech would have this sort of influence on our politicians in the way that they do, that they would be able to throttle silence and now even shaming and cancellation, re-education, and even purging. Members of the Obama administration all have plum positions in government and big tech and academe. These people who've worked for President Trump, look at the professor there, what's his name, John Eastman at Chapman University, just got forced out of his job there. And others who deign to stand by this president's side are going to pay a price for it. And I fear that they're going to come after you and this show. If they can shut you down on Twitter and Facebook, Dr. G, the radio show is the next thing they're going to go for. And give me some hope here, Dr. G, that I'm overthinking this.
No, I don't have any concrete answer. My answer is the last phone call. My answer is Jesse. They will try it, but the human spirit and the American spirit cannot be quelled, cannot be destroyed. And I give you just one answer. And I'm not talking about violence. I'm not talking about a civil war. I'm just talking about our power. There are at least 74 million of us. We're not some small community of Uyghurs in one province of China. We are 74 million Americans strong. That's the answer. I don't have the algorithm. I don't have the legislation. I have America. I have the heart of America. I have tens of millions of Americans who love this nation as much as you do, Ray, and as much as Tim and Jesse does. That's why they will never win. This year marks 20 years since America's darkest day, September the 11th, 2001. And the Tunnel to Towers Foundation has been supporting America's frontline heroes ever since. When a first responder or military service member doesn't come home and young children are left behind, Tunnel to Towers pays off their mortgage to lift the financial burden and bring their family stability. For catastrophically injured veterans and first responders, Tunnel to Towers builds mortgage-free smart homes, enabling our most severely injured heroes to live more independent lives. Our nation's heroes, people who are willing to die for you and me, need your help. Join Tunnel to Towers on their mission to do good and help these heroes. Donate $11 a month at T2T.org. That's the letter T, the number 2, and the letter T.org. That's T2T.org. Thank you.
Glory to God. Madam Speaker, I rise today to oppose this impeachment and denounce the recent violence on the Capitol, just as I oppose the previous impeachment and the violence we've all witnessed all summer long across our great country. Make no mistake here, the hypocrisy of the left is on full display. Quote, go to the Hill, get in the face of some Congress people. We've got to fight in Congress, fight in the courts, fight in the streets. Take him behind the gym and beat the hell out of him. Take him, go and take Trump out tonight. Sound familiar? What about the gentlewoman from New York who defended the looting by saying looters just wanted loaves of bread? Well, the last I checked, Best Buy and Teslas and stores of the like do not produce baked goods. Where's the accountability for the left after encouraging and normalizing violence? Rather than actually helping American people in this time, we start impeachments that further divide our country. I call bullcrap when I hear the Democrats demanding unity. Sadly, they are only unified in hate.
She says it's all bullcrap on the floor of Congress, and she's right. And they get annoyed with her, despite the fact that Nancy changes the rules for the impeachment debate so that they can call the president elected by 64 million Americans the racist in chief. We love her. She's new to the Congress. The photograph on her Twitter at the top has her holding a hat that says 45, and I'm not sure whether it's a reference to the gun that's on her hip, the caliber of the weapon, or who's in the White House. She is Lauren Boebert of Colorado 3. Lauren, Congresswoman Boebert, welcome to America First.
Thank you so much, Dr. Gorka. I am so happy to be on here with you today.
From the town of?
I am in Silt, Colorado, a very small little dot on the map. We have a roundabout, no stoplights here, population of about 3,000, and some of the most gorgeous views Colorado has to offer.
Real America. Okay, we have to discuss so many things. We've got you here for two segments. Fabulous to have you back on the show. First things first, you are an eyewitness to history on the floor of the Congress for those 8 hours. Your summation of what you witnessed in the second impeachment of the President of the United States.
You know, this was such a disgrace. And just like I mentioned on my speech on the floor of the House chambers, the hypocrisy is on full display with the Democrats. They do not want to help American families. This pandemic has hurt so many people in our country, has shut down businesses. People have lost their jobs. Families have gone below the poverty line here in America. And instead of helping American families, they want to rush through another sham impeachment. They'll use any excuse that they have to do anything that they can to destroy President Trump. But ultimately, he is not their main target. His supporters are who they are truly after. They despise President Trump's supporters. And perhaps it's because his supporters remind them of themselves. Had they not given an opportunity to achieve this elite status that they see themselves in, maybe they look at Trump's supporters and say, gosh, that could be me. How can I make sure that I am never in that position? We get rid of Trump and we do everything we can to destroy and shame his supporters along the way. And so this movement hopefully will just disappear and we'll never have to hear about it again. But President Trump has changed the Republican Party forever. He has changed the way we do politics here in America. He has awoken the American people and the spirit for freedom and to return to our foundation, our founding fathers and their roots that they built our country on. And this movement is not ending anytime soon. What they fail to realize is Trump is not just a man. We are all Trump. We
wow.
are MAGA.
Wow. The passion in your voice is incredible. We've only got a few seconds left in this segment. What you've witnessed so far must be a shock to the system. No, what you've witnessed on Capitol Hill, Congressman Bobert?
Yes. We see political stunt after political stunt. We see Speaker Pelosi with her security detail get whisked out of harm's way while there is an imminent threat to the House chambers, while members of Congress are locked inside, and we aren't able to protect ourselves in there. There's a few Capitol Hill police officers in the room with us, certainly not enough to defend us against all of the protesters that are shaking the doors of the House chambers. And now another political stunt after that day, January 6th, where we were all left so vulnerable. She has now put metal detectors in front of the House chambers to right. make sure no member of Congress will be able to defend themselves against an imminent threat.
Not only.
And she has announced to the world that we are all disarmed and sitting ducks.
Not only are you forced by her to wear masks, even if you've had the coronavirus, now you will not be able to protect yourself. We're talking to the new congressman for Colorado 3, Lauren Boebert. Follow her right now, Lauren Boebert, B-O-E-B-E-R-T, on Twitter. She will be back with us momentarily. I'm Sebastian Gorka. This is America First from the ReliefFactor.com studios. Relief Factor, drug-free pain relief that actually works. I've been taking it for 2 years now. It has rid me of my lower back pain that plagued me for 9 years, almost a decade. Find out if it could work for you by calling 800-500-8384 or going to ReliefFactor.com. Order the 3-week quick starter pack, and I guarantee you, within 3 weeks, you'll know if it works for you like it works for me and tens of thousands of your fellow Americans. Do it today. You won't regret it. ReliefFactor.com.
In our nation's capital, I'm a woman and a mother of four. I choose to defend my family with all of the force the Constitution provides. DC is one of the top 10 most dangerous cities in our country. Homicide rates and violent crimes are skyrocketing here. Being a member of Congress is pretty basic. I don't go to work in a motorcade or armored car. I don't get police escorts everywhere I go. I walk to my office every morning by myself. So as a 5-foot-tall, 100-pound woman, I choose to protect myself legally because I am my best security.
I am my best security. I think I read that somewhere. I think that's a paraphrase of, what is it? The Bill of Rights. Ah, yes, the Second Amendment. An incredible, incredible video recently posted by our special guest, Congresswoman Lauren Boebert. Let's post the full video on our Twitter feeds, our Facebook pages. It's an incredible piece of just Americana. And we have her with us right now. Congresswoman Boebert, I have a license to carry. I carry whenever I am permitted to do so. Why shouldn't a congresswoman be allowed to do so?
Well, that's a great question. I believe that every member of Congress should be able to carry, and every American should be able to carry. Every law-abiding citizen that we have should be able to defend their lives. And if members of Congress are going to acquiesce to Democrats wanting to strip our rights away to defend ourselves, to strip our Second Amendment rights away, what makes you think that members of Congress won't defend the average American day, American citizen when government comes after their guns? If we don't take a stand now against leadership trying to disarm us in our nation's capital, where we are sent there to secure the rights of American citizens, then I don't see any hope for us defending the Second Amendment outside of Washington, D.C.
Yeah, you were a small business owner. You stood up to the likes of Beto O'Rourke. You made an incredible name for yourself as an American citizen standing up for the Second Amendment. Yeah. Now you're brand new to Congress. What is your message to all of us who are so concerned with this incoming administration, their assault persistently when they're in power mm-hmm. against the Second Amendment? Mm-hmm. You ran for Congress. Not everybody's going to do that. So what should Americans listen. We have millions of listeners and viewers. What is your message to them?
Put pressure on everyone. That is exactly my message. From the local level to the federal level, you put pressure on every elected official to do exactly what they swore to do, uphold and defend the Constitution of the United States. Members of Congress, we are sent there to secure the rights of Americans, and that is the first thing that we should do. The first thing that happened to me when I got to Washington, D.C. was I was greeted with a letter signed by 21 Democrats wanting to disarm members of Congress completely from the Hill. And so I came back at them with my own letter with 82 of my colleagues who signed on saying, absolutely not. We will stand and defend the Second Amendment. So I need everyone to call your local elected officials, make sure they know where you stand with the Second Amendment and even the First and the Tenth, all of them. We know that free speech is under attack right now. I was just suspended from Twitter just a few days ago. Free speech is absolutely under attack in America.
What was your sin? Did they give you an explanation? Why were you suspended?
No, they didn't tell me. They didn't tell me why. And then after it was reported, they lifted the suspension without explanation as well.
Wow.
So a dirty little trick here. Call your congressmen, call your senators. And if they're doing a good job, call them and let them know that you're thankful for the stand that they're
yes.
taking.
And what is, I'm curious, so there's 20-year-old Democrats who wrote to you and said, we have to disarm everybody. What was their argument? Why do you have to disarm the representatives of the people?
They believe that that's really how we make things safe, but that only puts firearms in the hands of bad people,
right.
In the hands of criminals. By definition, criminals break the law. So adding more rules, regulations, and laws is not going to stop them from doing bad things. And I'll tell you, Dr. Gorka, on January 6th, while we were sitting in the House chambers, we weren't all saying to each other, gosh, I wish there were more metal detectors outside of these doors right now.
Yeah, I bet that's not what was coming to mind. Let me ask you, in the last few seconds we have here, you're brand new to Capitol Hill. God bless you. We need hundreds of true citizen politicians. I hope next time we talk, you can come into our studio here in D.C. But what is your experience so far? We saw 10 alleged Republicans vote for impeaching the president. precedent unconstitutionally. What is your impression of how solid the Republicans on Capitol Hill are?
There are more good Republicans than I even knew. I've had such a tremendous time getting to know members of Congress, Republican members of Congress, and building relationships with them. I'm a member of the Freedom Caucus, the House Freedom Caucus, and this is a group of people who get together and debate the constitutionality of a bill before they ever vote on it. And I'm proud to say that not one member of the House Freedom Caucus voted to impeach President Donald J. Trump. And it's really unfortunate that those 10 did, especially how rushed the process was. There was no investigation. There were no hearings. We had an hour of floor time to speak to the matter for the Republican side, and then the Democrats got an hour as well. And that was it. And it was just a numbers game. They had enough numbers to do it. But I am encouraged about the people, the amount of people who are there for the right reasons. And I do believe that if we continue to stick together, that we can put a stop to this socialist agenda that we're going to see. We can hold these people accountable. We can expose the corruption that's going on and enlighten the American people. You know, I'm ready to get to work for my district. In my district, I have more than 50% federal lands. We have issues to work on with healthcare and education, our water, our public lands, our energy needs. And instead, we're running through these made-for-TV, politically stunted sham impeachment. I have on my website, laurenforfreedom.com, I have my contract with Colorado, and I'm unable to even get started on those issues because the Democrats are just running amok in Congress.
Yep, they're wasting America's time and they're undermining the Constitution. Follow this lady right now, Colorado 3, Lauren Boebert on Twitter, B-O-E-B-E-R-T, and laurenforfreedom.com. God bless. Hope to see you in studio next time. Keep doing what you do. I'm Sebastian Gorka. This is America First on the Salem Radio Network, broadcasting from just outside the insalubrious, fetid swamp that is Washington, D.C., from the ReliefFactor.com studios. Relief Factor. If you're in pain and have found relief nowhere else, you must try this product. Just listen to Alicia from California. I'm a grocery store worker and have been working doubles during the coronavirus shutdown. At 52 years old, my two bad knees are not getting a rest. I literally limp to and from bed. 2 days into Relief Factor and the pain has decreased substantially. So thankful for this amazing product. That could be you. Find out today. Order your 3-week quick starter pack at relieffactor.com or call 800-500-8384. That's 800-500-8384, relieffactor.com. You've waited long enough. You deserve to know what else have you got to lose except your pain. relieffactor.com.
Sebastian, well, listen to him. He's with us.
Shad, remember. Thank you, Mr. President. I love that little clip. What do we call those? Linus. Shad remembered. Friday music. Crank it up. Radio America First. Not Radio Gaga. That's the song. Did you hear that lady's voice? She was just she's not a professional politician. She ran a diner. But now she is a member of Congress. But the passion, the heat of her commitment to this nation, to our Constitution, to our God-given rights, it just poured out of the microphone. So that's our answer to all of you. And I get it, but please just, and I'll try and be nice. I don't want to get a reputation. But enough with the it's over, it's finished, America's done. Do you think Lauren Boebert thinks America is done? She didn't have millions of dollars. She didn't have a sugar daddy funding her campaign. She beat an incumbent. And she's on Capitol Hill personally fighting for the Second Amendment. Calling out pretty robustly, if you listen to the clip from the impeachment, the sham tin pot dictator-like behavior of Nancy Pelosi and the rest of the Democrats. So if you find yourself in doubt, if you feel a weakness overcoming you, think of that 100-pound, 5-foot-2 woman who's got more moxie than most. Not all, because we love the Freedom Caucus, but most of the politicians on Capitol Hill with that letter R behind their name. And she's not the only one. Congresswoman Green, also a freshman we had on the show yesterday, said, what is she going to do the day after the inauguration? She's going to file articles of impeachment for a corruption against Joe Biden. That's how we do it. So have faith, chin up. We will overcome. We will persevere. They talked about their stupid resistance with their pink woolly hats. Watch out, because we will be a real political resistance. I'm Sebastian Gorka. This is America First on the Salem Radio Network. Keep your head in a swivel. Watch your six. Never give up, never give in. Stay frosty and listen to the boss.
And to those who would try to impose socialism on the United States, we again deliver a very simple message. America will never be a socialist country.